This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com. Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Space trash.
Trash in space.
Space trash.
Lifestyles of the rich and Uranus.
Space trash.
Celebrities, they're trash, but the astrology can help us understand.
Transmission incoming. Greetings, trashlings, and welcome back to another episode of Space Trash.
Rossos of the Rich and Uranus, Sarah Armour.
And I'm Molly Malshine. And we just watched the entire...
A double feature.
We started with Paula Abdul's Cold Hearted Snake, and then we watched the music video for Ariana Grande's Yes And, which is, some would say, an homage. Some would say what?
A ripoff. I think you'd say a full ripoff of Paula's vid.
I think it is an homage, but I've seen a lot of people debating whether the song itself is an interpolation of Vogue at the same time. And then today, like the beat, and if you listen to it, you can hear it. Today, someone pointed out that the melody of the vocals sounds like a song from Hairspray, which she was in Hairspray.
I sent
live
that
on.
To you.
You, oh yeah, you sent
I sent
to
that
me.
To you last night. I
okay,
sent it to
yeah,
you.
Yeah.
It rocked me to my core. It rocked me to my core because I was like, wow, it is the melody of You Can't Stop the Beat.
Yes. You can't say never. Yeah, like it really is. So the most charitable way to interpret this is she's made a truly postmodern piece of art here that is unafraid to reference or not reference, as Lady Gaga would say.
Okay. That's hella charitable, Ma.
Thank you. I really like Ariana Grande because I don't know why.
She actually is talented. I like her because No matter how anything she ever is, she is. It's the same as like Mariah can get away with like sometimes acting cuckoo because it's like the voice. She's got the goods. Like Ariana has got the talent to honestly do whatever the fuck she wants. And for that, we cannot hate on her on any way because it's like, she's great. Like, and she's going to go down in history as one of the greatest talents, like of our generation, for sure. She just is. She's had that voice since she was a little baby. This is her birthright, right?
Yeah. Like Aretha Franklin handpicked her to play at her own funeral. That's enough.
Right. That's like, no, that's right. And that's like not something that is given away lightly or charitably or like for industry purposes. Like Ariana is that good. And I think it's just really hard because ultimately, and this is, I guess, with a lot of people, but it's like, have you ever heard that theory that's like people get stuck at the mental age where they got famous?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of weight to that. I think they get stuck at the age when they get surrounded by yes men. That's really what it is.
It's okay, like yeah.
Suddenly you have people blowing smoke up your ass 24/7. You stop progressing like as a person. So the really ironic thing about this song is I love the chorus. It's very catchy, but you still have to listen to it. This and I'm also a huge fan of Lil Nas X. His new song, Jay Christ, The chorus doesn't immediately jump out to you. Like, you're not singing it after the first time you hear the song, but after a couple times you hear it, you're like, okay, yeah, I'm into this. You know what I mean? Like, it's not really an earworm hook, but the one line that stands out in the hook of this song is "say that shit with your chest." And I'm like, Ariana,
what chest?
Take your own advice. Like, she is saying it with her nose all the time, and maybe the space between her ears, but not her chest. Like, I just want her to breathe in. I want her to use oxygen with her singing. And she's increasingly,
I know,
doing that less and less. She's getting so too breathy. And at the same time, she's bleached. I mean, the spray tan had to go. It was borderline offensive, but she's bleaching out her whole look. She has no eyebrows. Her hair is white. Her body is white. Her voice is wasting away to nothing. I'm very disturbed by the full effect. It seems like she is vanishing before my very eyes. And I don't just mean, like, it's not a weight thing. It's not a speculating on a weight thing. There's something about her persona that is just wasting away.
Well, it's like exactly what you were saying. I think we were talking about it a few episodes ago where you were saying about how, like, well, actually, like when the fan pointed out that, like, some HGTV star had a boil on his neck, it seemed like, I don't think, like, because the whole song is basically being like, first of all, it should be called Yes Men. Okay, no, but it's like the whole, this is stupid, but the whole song is basically being like, don't let anybody's, like, opinion of you affect you or take you down. And, like, it basically, like, fuck off everybody. I also thought it was funny because now she's going, like, back to Theatreville. And it's like, the first thing I'm like, oh, yes. And, like, you're doing an improv reference song. Like, okay, how boring, but okay. But I don't think it's rude for anybody to speculate about a celebrity's anything. First of all, in general, because it's kind of what they signed up for. But also, like, if you're doing things that are causing alarm, then for people to acknowledge it isn't actually rude. It's simply a reflection. Like, even in the song, she's like, don't get your don't get your projections on me in the song. And it's like, but what's the difference between, like, people projecting versus, like taking feedback? Like, we're all not, I'm not so fat or so thin that I'm judging Ari's weight. But if I'm going, where is the, like, even her voice doesn't sound that powerful. She's not even, like, that sharp. It's like she's kind of, like, traipsing across the floor. And it's like she has, like, dancers doing these. Like, when your dancers are out dancing you in the video, it's sort of like, don't make it a dance video. I don't know. I just feel like
she's almost too ethereal.
Too ethereal. She's like, she has a very barely there presence, which is alarming. And, like, I just think there's such a fine line between, like, projecting our shit onto other people versus just, like, having a reaction or feedback. Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like she's taking everything that anyone is saying about her as, like, that's their own shit, which is generally, like, a healthy way of being, unless
it's not,
you find yourself, it's just not always the case. That's sort of why I even bring up the Cat and Val days or whatever that show is called. Cause it's almost like she's like hearkening back to when she was 10 again, except instead of having, like, bleached red hair, she's like, I'm actually going, like, full wash out. But, like, she's literally channeling her Disney persona in this weird way. But even then, she had more verve and more energy. Yeah. She doesn't seem herself. And I get it. We don't know you. But, like, I just hate it when people are like, what people don't get is, like, she did that video a few months ago where she's like, what people don't get is, like, I've never been better. And it's like, really?
Yeah, I don't.
Really?
Yeah.
You
and
haven't?
I think better? Something that has always been the case for her is an extreme level of self-consciousness and self-regard. And I don't mean that in a way of, like, she's full of herself. I mean, literally conscious of herself and her appearance and what she looks like. Like, the ponytail thing, it's always been sort of a punchline, but it was a little weird. It was like when you had a friend who would always over pencil her eyebrows or something, and you're like, is this a weird insecurity thing? It's like, why are you so sort of, like, you know, relying on this one prop? It was almost like she was relying on a prop for her appearance. And she was always, from a very young age compared to other divas, really fixated on her good side. There were all these rumors that she clashed with Mariah Carey because they were supposed to be doing an interview together and they both had the same good side and they couldn't, like, you know, and she was like 21 at the time. It's like, what 21-year-old has a good side? You're a child, you know, like,
right.
So it's always, and now it just seems like it's getting to a point where she's just like every photo she posts, everything she puts out there is just like, it's so posed and it's so airbrushed and it's so like contorted into what she thinks will look good. And it makes it hard to watch and hard to consume, like as a woman, as someone old, a little older than her. It just makes me worry about her because I'm like, you gotta loosen up. Like, you can be a real human. And it just doesn't seem like she can. In the video, she starts out and ends as a statue with her hands covering her eyes. I found this really morbid. Like, covering your eyes, it's very corpsey. It's very corpse-like. I don't know. Like, and then walking out with the hat covering her eyes, it's like, don't look, there's not a person here.
Well, and it's, well, okay, so that's so interesting. Wait, so I took it as I actually thought it was a misunderstanding of the Medusa mythology, or like maybe like a reinterpretation of it, where she's like, I turn all of me and my dancers into statues, not you, which I don't really think makes like sense. Like, because that's the whole thing with like the Medusa mythology. It's like, if you looked her in the eyes,
Medusa mythology,
she would, the Medusa mythology, like, you'd like look her in the eyes and then she'd like turn the men to stone, right? Because she could like see into your soul, even though she was just like a snaky head. But that also with like the throwback to the Paula video, it's all, you know, Medusa's all about snakes. It's all about covering the eyes. It's all about protecting the world from her eyes. But in this case, it was like, I'm protecting myself from the world by becoming stone and covering my own eyes. And I just don't, I would like to know more about her idea of modern mythology, certainly. But that's like,
I think that makes sense. She's kind of hiding away. Like, she's like, okay, if you want someone who's completely controlled and has no humanity whatsoever, I'll just be a statue with no eyes, kind of thing.
But the irony is, like, per what you're saying, though, it's kind of like, we don't necessarily want that, but like, do you want that? Like, if she didn't have a scandalous husband stealing row, I stole row from the UK. But if she didn't have a scandalous husband stealing row, I don't know if she would be this defensive right now. Like, I feel like the thing that she's not acknowledging is that, like, I don't know. I just wish celebrities would sometimes be like, hey, I'm so sorry. I totally get that this, like, wasn't nice, you know? Like, I want to put out a note to Dalton and Miss J, whatever her name was, fake name J, that, like, it was uncool of us to go on a double date. And, like, I'm sorry that, like, that. I just wish there was, like, I feel like I'm sorrys are welcome here. And, like, you don't have to be so strong. People don't know the truth. It's like, well, the truth is, like, you were both married. I mean, it's like, the truth is you were both married and he had just had a baby. So, like, whatever might have been going on that we don't understand, we might be more open to hearing what happened that we don't understand. If there's also, like, you don't want us to acknowledge, like, your humanity, or you don't want to acknowledge your humanity. Like, I don't know. I just feel like going, like, yeah, I totally get how it seems messed up. Any sort of hint of, I get where this looks bad, to me would be helpful, I think. Like, I don't appreciate when people are just so trigger happy, like, okay, think what you want about me, say what you want about me. It's like, yeah, we will either way, but, like, could you help a little just in terms of, like, could you be a little bit, like, for the self-awareness that we give her credit for, it's also, like, sort of a little bit unaware here, are, like, we're not, like, making shit up or, like, pulling stuff out of a hat and being like, wait, breaking news, Ethan Slater actually was married. It's like, no, he's posting pictures of his baby and his baby mama on Mother's Day last week. It's like, we're also not, like, stupid. Like, I don't know, like, I don't appreciate when celebrities are like, stay out of my business. But then it's like, all right, but, like, your business is kind of our business. Like, and that's the business of the business that you're in.
Yeah. Like, all of your songs directly reference by name sometimes the people that you're dating. Like,
literally.
You have to understand human nature. And it's like, okay, she could say the same thing. Like, my human nature, I'm only human. I fell in love with this guy. It's not my fault. He had a wife and kid. And it's like, okay, but like, we're kind of allowed to judge you. Sorry. Like, people are allowed to kind of not think but that's also, the coolest like, move in the world.
But I would even judge her less if she even just said that. I do think that part of her like stark white appearance is a reaction to, yeah, don't date a comedian if you don't want jokes about you. And he was so right about like just trashing her for going on the cover of Vogue with like a nearly black spray tan. So like,
yeah,
look, don't dump a comedian if you don't want to hear the jokes, but you are human. You are affectable. Ari, even if you were just like my friend from high school and you were all of a sudden getting divorced and then shacking up with someone else that was a married man that also had a baby, I just might be concerned also, you know, like it doesn't have anything to do with you being Ariana Grande. It's just, it's a concerning, the whole trajectory, especially since Mac died, has been concerning.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just is, you know? And I also just think it's funny. Yeah, it's like, why do you care, like, whose D I'm riding in a pop song is, like, fun and subversive. But, like, we care whose D you're riding are because you've sort of, side to side is about riding dick. Your shtick is dick.
Yeah. And if you listen to side, it doesn't have that overly breathy quality that her stuff now does.
It's the first time that we've ever, I think, seen her have, like, an actual sort of lack of awareness. Say that shit with your chest. Like, I y'all.
The Sweetener era was also very diminished and very quiet and whispery. Like, she's been going in this direction for a while, and now it's just
gotten. But see, Sweetener, I liked for that, though. But Sweetener was, I think Sweetener is my favorite Ari album and my favorite Ari era, and it's because, at the very least, at least she was breathy and little, but it was like, I think Sweetener's one of like the sexiest songs. Like, I think it's a hot song. Like, it's where she's doing sexy baby, but in sort of like an empowered way, because this is pre Max death. She thinks that she's like a breaking up and finding her husband.
Pete Davidson.
Right. But she and Mac just broke up, and then she thought she was marrying Pete Davidson. Right. He didn't die yet. Thank you. Next, he died. Then she was like, oops, poops. Maybe I like actually have like that. Thank you. Next was her last, like, so far. That was her last like offering. But she was genuinely fired up. Right. She was then like that was the era where she and Pete were actually like smushing their faces and shit. And it's like, why did you get engaged if you would even do that after the engagement ended? Like, anybody that you would get engaged to, you should be at the point where even if it were to not work out, you wouldn't want to like attack the other publicly.
Oh, that's
like,
way, I just think it's, no, that's easier said than done. Like, everybody that you're dating at the time that you're dating them, you think you would have an amicable, mature breakup, but come on, like, who does? That's psychotic to have a mature breakup.
I don't know, like, the fact that they got engaged so quickly, and it'd be interesting to me to see what would have happened if Mac hadn't died, because I think between Mac being like the one that like she broke up with, but like it was always going to be there to like love and like kind of have her back, but like be like that guy who like kind of got away, but not, you know, just bestie vibes. But then Pete, this like big tall comedian, like I think in her mind she was like, all right, like with these two on my payroll, like we're going to be good and like very cool forever. Then Mac died. Then she realized, not only am I thinking about Mac constantly, but Pete, you're like kind of annoying and like you have mental issues too. That it all kind of like spun out and then it ended. Then she did Thank You Next. It was sort of that like I'm empowered phase, which like, yeah, go for it. Hell yeah.
Thank You Next was like, I think Seven Rings was her peak sort of black scent era when people were finally like, look, the like what Pete said was she spray painted herself brown on the cover of Vogue. Like people finally were like, okay, you are sort of culturally appropriating, even though she had been for years. Like she is from Boca Raton, Florida. That was not her accent in the beginning of her career. You know what I mean? Like she truly took on AAVE accent that was not hers to take on. And then I think Seven Rings was when people started to really be like, look, like we were in a call out era at that time. And Thank You Next was so fun. She was overly tan in that video. I just watched it the other day, but like she didn't have all the other pieces to the puzzle, but Seven Rings people felt was too close to like, I don't know, trying to be more hip hop adjacent than she actually is, or maybe has like technically a right to be. And I feel like after that, That's when she came back all bleached out with the fox eye, maybe the fox eye lift. I don't know. It looks, she came back looking different. She skipped white. She skipped over white. But Thank You Next was like, that would have been kind of her like whitest thing ever. But she was, the spray tan was too crazy. But, you know, that's a normal thing for white people now at this point. Some people are just of orange descent at this point.
Yeah, like sometimes people go, some people are orange. Here's what I will say, and I don't like to say this. During her quarantine Dalton Gomez era, I think physically, and this is maybe you have to cut it, but like I think she looked the most like authentically Ari. Like she was, she looked less Asian, less black. She just sort of looked, she did look happy. Like even if it was fake, she looked sort of like quote unquote like normal.
See, I thought that all of it really stuck out to me, her wedding photos, how fake posed they were. The ones that she posted to Instagram,
well,
they were all from her good side. They were all like just these really awkward, weird poses that you could tell she was kind of, it didn't look right. Weird.
Like pose.
Never just a happy moment with your husband. You know what I mean? Like all really weird and just really self-conscious. Like, and that's what freaks me out about the trajectory that she's on, because we all don't want to be self-conscious. It's my own shit. That's why it's bothering me. But like the weird posedness of the wedding photos always stuck out to me and made me think this is not going to last. Cause you can't even post a genuinely happy wedding photo where you're just smiling like a goof, you know?
I know. Nothing less self-aware than those IG lives where she's like, I've never been better. And it's like, all right.
Yeah, okay. It's really, really weird and just dark. It's almost like not even fun to talk about because I'm just genuinely.
I know. It really like makes me. It actually is worrisome. It's worrisome. It's like, and that's why this song sort of bothers me, because it's like, why don't you like step off of my back and like stop judging me or like projecting on me? And it's like, no, there is a difference between us projecting on you and us actually being like, how do you say, are you okay to someone without seeming like you're projecting that you're not okay? Like, what is the line?
She's in her like Chris Moltisanti during the intervention era. Like when they try to have an if Chris Moltisanti on Sopranos was a pop star, this would have been the song he released right after they had the intervention, because he was like, what the fuck? Like, shut the fuck up. You all do drugs too. You know what I mean? Like she's
right.
This song is just so defensive. And someone,
defensive.
Yeah, I wish I knew who, but somebody on Twitter, just saying it's on Twitter because it's not my idea. I would love to give them credit, but I forget who it was saying how like she probably thinks this is her Britney Spears piece of me. You know, you wanna piece of me.
Yeah.
So
why does
this song feel so defensive when Piece of Me felt more confident, empowered? I don't know. Like, what's the difference?
In Piece of Me, she wasn't attacking us and she wasn't really attacking anyone in particular, but she was just saying like, you all want me to look bad out there. You want me to look like a bad mama. You want me to look like I'm this. You want me, but like, you all want more. You all want more. She was correct. The issue with this song is it's a little bit like, if anything, it's actually confusing because it's basically like, yes, I stole someone's husband. And it's like,
and we think you're an asshole.
Say that chat with your chest. And it's like, what? And like, it's a little bit, this is like the first time I think we've ever seen Ari being like just a little bit like disembodied.
That's freaking me out so much.
Even the whole idea that she's like, now I'm like more authentic than ever. It's like, okay, then if anything, just like go back to like Boca Raton. Like you can have a little bit of a tan and like you can have just like normal brown. You can have just be a normal brunette.
It's fine. You're an Italian girl from Florida.
You're an Italian from Boca Raton. Like, which is actually like a powerful tan girl ponytail. Like she was actually on the right track. She just, you know what I mean? From an astrological perspective, what's interesting is she dropped this on the Capricorn new moon. She's a Capricorn rising Cancer sun. It is that Capricorn rising energy in her that is trying to like, you're talking about like control the facade. That is definition Capricorn rising. Capricorn is the facade. Capricorn rising is like, I'm controlling the way that you all view me. That is now the attempt to go statue, full statue on us if she can't fully control it, you know, like, so I get where astrologically this makes sense. What I think is kind of interesting about this moment astrologically is that as we are still in Capricorn season, we are waiting for Pluto to now move into Aquarius. It will happen on the 20th. But this new moon was conjunct Pluto. We see all these wars all of a sudden breaking out. We see Ari putting out a defensive chess track. And what I don't think everybody understands about Pluto and the nature of Pluto is that it actually dredges up like all of the toxic, like Pluto's actually creating these wars, not because that is going to be the end game, but because it's the truth of, like, you actually have to see the hatred. You have to see the dysfunction. You have to see the addiction. You have to see the underbelly of the truth in order to transform it. So what she might think as an amateur astrologist on this new moon is that she was like, yeah, let's drop it on the new moon and show that like I'm also clocking it. But it's like, okay, but like if you're going to drop this on this new moon in Capricorn as a Capricorn rising right before this shift into Pluto in Aquarius, it's almost like you don't really realize that you're sort of a part of the subterfuge of what Pluto is showing us about war. Like, I almost feel like we're seeing Ari at war right now in a way. Like, she's actually showing us the war within herself, the war that she feels is going on between her and the public. And it's like, it's on deck to be healed moving forward. But there is a really dark, like this yes, and as like a take my power back anthem, I don't think it's going to be, I don't think it's that. I think it's a showing you how vulnerable I actually feel anthem is what it actually is.
The first lines are, in case you haven't noticed, well, everybody's tired. Like, what? Tired?
What?
You're opening with tired?
Everybody's tired. So let's pump up the rhythm and make a dance. Let's make an 80s dance. It's like, it's already incongruent.
Yeah, it doesn't really make sense. Everybody's tired and healing from somebody or something we don't see just right. And she's covering her eyes, and that's when the hat is covering her eyes. Then she says, boy, come on, put your lipstick on. No one can tell you nothing. Come on and walk this way through the fire. If you find yourself in a dark situation, just turn on your light and be like, yes, and say that shit with your chest and be your own fucking best friend.
This is for the gay boy improv community to be like, I do wear lipstick.
I guess, but like,
I'm down with men wearing lipstick and doing whatever they want with their sexuality.
Well, she
and
probably just said
beauty.
Boy, because it's subversive. I don't think it has anything to do with the main point of the song. Like, I'm wounded and I don't want to explain it, but I want to proudly say something. I don't know. It's so weird.
I mean, maybe she's actually speaking specifically to like Ethan Slater Spamalot. It's like, yeah, you are theater. you are Broadway, and Broadway wears makeup. You know, I don't know. Come on, Ethan, put on your lipstick. We're going out. You know, if this would be the only literal interpretation I could think of. But it's like, I don't know. It's like, in a way, I also am a little bit bothered because I feel like she's clearly trying to make a Gaga-esque dance anthem. I am so down for Ari's re-entry into theater.
Yeah, it's very like the slutty theater nerds, like that's her vibe.
You're trying to like let us know that like we shouldn't take the internet at face value. It's not the internet, Ari.
It's people are criticizing you.
I would rather get a ballad out of her that's like, we know it's wrong. It's not right, but it's okay. Was a banger.
Right.
You can make a banger about doing the wrong thing. Stop fucking like aggrandizing your righteousness when you do something wrong. How about
right.
You do things wrong like a person?
You can kind of tell. You can tell. It just comes across as someone who's spoiled. Someone whose mom gave them everything. Like, because you know her mom is pretty rich. Her mom is like a VP of some company growing up. Like, she's a rich girl. And
Boca is like one of the top 10 wealthiest zip codes in the country. Boca's Boca. When I want to go to Goodwill to find a Prada bag, I go to Boca, not even Palm Beach.
That's a really good tip.
The thing about Boca that is so uppity is that, like, it isn't.
Oh my God. I'm so sorry. She's really on.
You're good. You're good. Boca's a very.
It kind of seems like it's the most basic place. Like, one of those places where it's just, like, everyone definitely has more than one Stanley Cup. Yeah.
When Oprah had a house, it was in Boca.
Yeah.
Ari's from an extremely nice retirement community, essentially. That really has nothing to do with anything other than just to say that, like, Ari's framework for Earth, aside from being famous, is otherwise paradise. And so I think, yeah, the fact that we're even giving her pushback, maybe for the, like, when else has Ari gotten, like, big pushback? I think Ethan Slater was the first time that we were like, Ari, what the fuck? You know, like, even when it came to, like, Big Sean and Nia, we were like, whatever, celebs. The fact that Ethan Slater's wife was just was sort of a, this is the wrong way to use the phrase non-compete, but non-compete. Like, she was just like a gal who's been with since he was like 12. She was just a local who just had his baby. Own it. Just own it. I wish the song was like, sorry, and maybe you'll be better off because your husband was a cheater. Low key. Now we're living in my penthouse. And if he cheats on me, I can afford it. Whatever. Like, I just feel like the fact that this is trying to be like a reality, like a check yourself reality anthem where it's like, we want to be like, hey, Ari, check yourself.
She needs to get real about the fact that she hurt someone. And like, she needs to understand that everyone's not going to like her and everyone's not her mom and her staff. You know, like, I just think a lot of celebrities, I think it's a really interesting chicken or the egg thing because people kind of, to get famous, you have to have a pretty big ego. And then once you actually are famous, your ego torments you for the rest of your life because you have to have this confidence of like, everyone likes me. I am so amazing. I am going to create things that just come from my heart and soul, and the world is going to be shaken by them. Like, you have to have that confidence, and it's really hard to have that confidence and not also be completely unable to take criticism.
Let's look at who Ariana might have been in a past life. Like, she was born with incredible talent.
Yeah, but she was also born with the confidence and the ego to take that. There's so many talented people who never get famous.
Right, that's true.
It's not to say that she's not talent. It's not to say that she's not talented. It's just to say that, like, to get famous, you need a lot of the time, you need this otherworldly confidence to keep going and to push and push and push. And like,
but it's like, what's the difference between like ego and confidence?
I think ego is, like, confident can be just feeling good, like you've prepared properly and like you've done everything that you can do and you are good at this. And there's a lot of people that are like I would say that who's someone who's confident without being egotistical? Maybe Adele. I've never seen Adele kind of like complain about anything that comes her way because she's maybe because Adele was working class when she was brought up and she didn't feel entitled to all of this success and to everyone loving her. And the fact that people do love her this much is a nice surprise, you know? And like,
that's true, right? When you see her at her shows and people are singing the lyrics back to her, she's like, like she's surprised like every time.
Yeah. And it's not like, it's just, it's different for everybody.
Adele was working class. That's interesting. That actually, I actually think you're right. I think actually class is an interesting, because actually when we're talking about like, right, Ariana, Taylor, Lizzo, these are all rich girls.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I think she, I don't know, like Robbie Williams, I had to secondhand watch his documentary. I didn't want to watch it, but Nick was watching it. People over here love Robbie Williams for some reason. He is
hilarious.
He's an egotistical douchebag. And like, his confidence doesn't come from any sort of objective truth. Like, the whole documentary is it hinges on him firing his writing partner and then unbeknownst to him never having another hit. And he talks about how unfair people were about the music that he put out after he fired his writing partner. And it's like, bro, the music sucked. Like, that's why. And he frames it as like, people were being unfair to me. The UK just didn't like me for some reason. And it's like, no, like Angel was a really good song. And then you released a white man rap song like that. That's the difference. So it's like that's the difference between confident and egotistical, I would say. Like, he didn't understand that the music was bad because he was so overconfident. His ego wouldn't allow him to understand,
right,
that he fucked up, you know.
Well, I think you're nailing it with the, like, confidence is actually almost like a byproduct of like doing the work of putting yourself out there and fine tuning like skill or talent. Whereas ego is like, I deserve.
And but ego, that can get you very far. That can get you far. Like my friends who grow up, like people I know who grew up spoiled and entitled, they get more. They get more in life because they think they're entitled to it. And you're just like, wait a minute, why? Like, why not spoil your kid? Because they will think that they are owed that for the rest of their life. Like when I used to work at a magazine where we had a lot of rich girl interns, they didn't give a fuck. They would not do any work. They would just sit there and try and like act cool. And like, there was nothing I could do about it because we needed, I don't know why they needed to stay. Like, and then the girls who grew up working in middle class or lower middle class would be the ones doing all the grunt work. And I just wanted to like say to those girls, stop, like, don't work so hard. Look at what the rich girls are doing. They're literally coasting and they're going to have the same thing lying on the resume. I'm not going to write them a good letter of recommendation, but they probably won't need it because they're rich and they'll blag their way out of needing one. You know what I mean? Like entitlement and ego actually can take you pretty far.
It's interesting. So I don't know if I sent it to you because I was personally triggered, but I was trying to pretend while I was watching it that I was not personally triggered. But there was this video that this like money coach that I follow posted about Kim Kardashian's Christmas party. And she was like, anybody that is triggered by Kim Kardashian's excessive display of wealth has money blocks. And immediately I was triggered. But then she was like, and if you're triggered by this, that means you have issues with money. And I was like, I'm not triggered, but I was triggered, which is probably why I didn't send it. But she was basically saying that the only reason that Kim K has accrued the amount of money that she has is because not only has she always expected it her whole life, like, and just thought that was attainable, but also because she wanted it. That like, there's a certain element of like super wealth that requires want, because nobody needs to be able to turn their backyard into a winter wonderland in Calabasas. You have to want to be able to have the wealth to do that. And so I feel like there's like almost like a three-part thing where it's like ego takes you so far, need takes you so far, desire takes you so far, but then it's like you've got to have this sort of like a healthy braid combination of all three things that keeps your ego alive, but also in check enough to keep like producing. Cause I also feel like the problem with ego is that like, it also creates this air of entitlement that then can also like backfire. Whereas like, right, with the Kardashians, it hasn't backfired.
Well, I think a lot of them are miserable, a lot of the Kardashians. I think Kim is pretty happy a lot of the time. Right now, she might not be happy, like, in terms of her romantic life, which has always been sort of a huge deal for her. But, like, I think Khloé is miserable. On the show, she talks about how
I think Khloé's miserable.
She talks about how her 30s have been miserable. And she has two beautiful kids who are healthy. One of them, she didn't even have to fucking carry. It's like, what right do you have to... And she's richer than God. What right do you have to be miserable? Like, shut up. And that comes from entitlement and ego, I think.
Speaking of which, did you see that Tristan Thompson has now been named he got a brand deal with the Special Olympics. And I just think it's so funny because it's like, yeah, that great brand deal and great cause. But like, if you don't care about the other living children that you brought into this earth, like a little bit, how dare you care about like, it's just like, yes to children. Yeah. Like I'm a little bit like, what? Like, yes. So great to have the children's Special Olympics on the map, but like, what about your just children? What about your just regular like children, Trist? I don't know. The Kardashians are so interesting to me in that way where it's like, but like actually similar to this Ariana conversation where it's like, you guys are just sort of like, not Kim as much, but like Khloé specifically sort of, and actually how interesting too, they're both Cancers. It's like in this Cancer Capricorn conversation, it's like the Cancer Capricorns are, and myself included, and I'm a Cancer Capricorn, but like are very comfortable sort of like trying to bypass like that like Capricornian responsibility to tug at the heartstrings in a way and to just keep making money, where it's like what Capricorn ultimately is about is responsibility. And what Capricorn ultimately is about, yes, it's the facades. Yes, it's fame. Yes, it's the public, but it's also the responsibility of being a public. And I just feel like we're in this really interesting, like very literal astrologically changing of the times where like even by the end of this month, but very much by the end of this year, we're going to look back and we're going to go, wow, a lot of the things that we have been like really giving like public credence to, like giving credit and credence and like clapping for, brava to, is it's just going to be very different for the next 40 years come January 20th. We're going to move into this age, or not even move into the age of Aquarius, but we're moving into Pluto in Aquarius, where we're going to see the deconstruction and then ultimately reconstruction of like the people having a voice. And I just think it's, like Ariana, whoever your astrologer is, I totally get that you're into astrology. And so you dropped this on the Capricorn new moon and you thought that it was going to be some like self-assertion power ballad, but I don't think you fully understand that like this is the least humanitarian effort that we've seen from Ariana so far. Like this actually is a little bit outdated already, not just because it's an 80s throwback, but because it's like, no, you're like, this is the first time I'll ever say I think Ari missed the mark here.
Yeah, it's almost antisocial, this song. It's like
yes.
It's a person who doesn't care for the rules of society. Like she's kind of trying to circumvent the rules of engagement and just be like, no, you don't understand. I'm healing from something. I'm a little tired. So like I get to bang a married man. And it's like, what? It reminds me of,
right.
I also can't stop thinking about Rachel Levis, her podcast, which I still haven't listened to yet. I definitely want to listen to it. Like just in terms of for research purposes, because it's the Justice for Side Chicks podcast. And that's kind of what Ariana Grande is doing with this song. It's like Justice for Side Chicks. But I'm like, but neither of you is justifying anything. You're just wallowing. You're just constantly being like, no, let me be the side chick. And it's like, no, we don't think that's a cool thing to do. Like, we don't think that's cool. And you're not giving us a really compelling reason to kind of like either forgive people who have done that or accept it, you know, like it's just a wallowing that's going on. And that really bothers me because I wallow and I don't want to wallow. So when I see it in someone else, it triggers me for sure.
Yeah, but don't say that because like then Ari's right that like you are projecting your wallowing on me or whatever.
Yeah, but I'm also projecting the fact that if someone came and stole my husband right now, I would be fucking pissed. Like, yeah, I'm projecting that onto her because she did that.
Yeah, but like,
you know?
Yeah, but that is the truth. That you're so right though. Like, it's like at the end of the day,
I don't like murderers, you know, like I don't like people who murder because I don't want to get murdered. Sorry to project, you know, like it's
right. Well, but I do think, side note, that is why the Gypsy Rose Blanchard story is interesting because it's like offering this sort of off the beaten track. It's almost like side chicks, side murder. like it's sort of this like, okay, but like, are there cases where, you know what, for the record, there are cases where murder is justifiable and fucking somebody's husband who has a new baby is justifiable. But if that is the case, what I appreciate about Gypsy Rose is that she's giving us all of the context. I think Rachel Levis and Ariana are both missing, Ariana Grande, not Maddox, are missing is context. And it's like okay, sure, be the voice of this, like sure, call it a you know, an underrepresented group of people who are doing this subversive social act. Okay, I'm actually okay with that. You know, I'm team Camilla, but talk about it like a person who's talking to people about other people. Like there's this weird, like, side chicks as a thing is actually completely unacceptable unless you're actually speaking to the like psychological truths of not only the implications of, but what's going on. Like, there's actually an opportunity for depth here that they're just both missing. I'm not sure that Rachel Levis is capable of it. I know that Ariana is. And that's why I don't like yes and, because I feel like it's like, Ariana, I actually believe in you more than just saying, leave me alone. You have not had a leave me alone life. You've not had a leave me alone career. And you've done now for the first time something actually sort of wrong. Do not fucking make us feel bad for interrogating you about that.
She's the person who did break up with your girlfriend. I'm bored. She stole Big Sean from Naira. Right. Like, she's got a very
clear, take a little bit of accountability, dude.
Right. Track record of doing this.
Either way, join the Patreon to support us.
That's a really good idea.
And have a wonderful rest of Capricorn season. And we'll see you maybe tomorrow, maybe whenever.
I also had to take Oscar to the vet today. It was really cold out. It was a little bit of a crazy day. Ear infections. They smell like, oh my God. I said to Nick, and I felt bad for
his ears
because it was misogynistic, but his ear, when it's infected, it smells like low tide at a whorehouse. It smells like it just smells like old fish. It smells like my dad's station wagon when it's had like 5 years of wetsuits piling up in the back and never being hosed off. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Like, just like mold. Like, I think you're kind of just saying like mold, like mold.
No, because it's fish. It's low tide. It's a low tide smell.
It's low tide. That's rough. No pun intended, but that's rough, rough.
Yeah. And it kind of like wakes me up.
Holy fuck. Wow. That's really bad. Actually, you're actually being extremely gracious here.
Thank you. Thank you. And poor Oski, but it was good. He got to see some other dogs. So that's good. I don't know, but it was a crazy day.
It's all going to be okay. You know, everybody keep listening, join the Patreon, but we're all in a weird transition moment here. And let's all have space and grace for the fishy smell coming out of our dog's ears.
Yeah. We do.
Space trash.
Trash in space.
Space trash.
Lifestyles of the rich and Uranus.
Space trash.
Celebrities, they're trash, but the astrology can help us understand.
Transmission incoming.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.